I want to ask you to open your Bible to the book of Acts, and I want you to find chapter 16, if you will. And would you find verse 11 of Acts chapter 16? And while you're turning there, let me do a couple of things this morning. First of all, let me say a word of thank you to Kevin Moorbach and the Gideons, and for the work that they do in spreading the word of God around the world. That is significant. We have the privilege in our church of having many who are Gideons, so let me just take a moment to ask in our church here today, if you are a Gideon, would you please stand? We'd like to recognize you today if you're a Gideon here at Westside. Kevin, you can stand. Any others who are in the room today, join them in standing. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for the work that you do, some upstairs as well. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I want to encourage you to pray for the work of the Gideons International and also to financially support them. And you can do that today, even as you will on the way out. If you'd like to give an offering that would go to them, you can take one of those envelopes and just make sure you clearly designate that and let them know that you're supporting and hoping to buy Bibles to share with the entire world. Let me say a second thing before I preach, and that is concerning the little video that you just saw. In March of 2020, our world was shut down, as you well remember. But not only that, our church was shut down, and for a period of time, in March of 2020, we did not meet. You did not come. I came, you didn't come. And for several weeks, I preached to an empty building. And what I want to do for these next several weeks, I'm going back to those sermons that I preach to an empty building, and I'm going to preach them to you while you're here. Now, I know that you may have watched online, but I want to tell you this, preaching a same sermon to an empty building and preaching that same sermon to folks like you who are gathered here today is totally different. I would also suggest that perhaps watching online is totally different than being here in person as well. So I want to go back, and that's what we're looking at. That's why I've called them shutdown sermons. These are sermons that I preached here when we were shut down because of COVID in 2020, and I want to pick up in Acts chapter 16 and verse 11, and I'm going to ask you to join me in standing as I read from the Word of God, Acts chapter 16. And this message that I simply called, it's testimony time. I like that. It's testimony time. Acts chapter 16, verse 11, if you have your Bible, please follow along with me. Hear what it says. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful in the Lord, come unto my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Verse 16 says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. We're going to talk about testimony time this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your word today, and I pray that you'll use it to speak to our hearts, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I grew up in a small town and a small church. Probably some of you have that same kind of story in your background. But I remember as a boy growing up in that church that occasionally on Sunday night, we would have what we called testimony time. You remember that? And people would be allowed to share a testimony. We called them pop-up testimonies. What that means is you pop up, give your testimony, and then in my little church, if you popped up and gave your testimony, you got to pick a song, a hymn that we were going to sing. Does that relate to anybody today? Anybody remember those days? And so people would pop up, share a testimony, and then they would be able to select a hymn. As a young pastor, whenever I pastored smaller churches, we would occasionally do that as well. Testimony time. I want to say this to you this morning at the outset. If you are a Christian, you have a testimony. It is uniquely yours. And you might say, well, what is a testimony? Your testimony is whenever you talk about the time and the place whenever you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, the time and the place where you got saved. For years, I have done evangelism training, and whenever I've done evangelism training and trying to help people to be equipped to share their faith, one of the things I've always done is encourage people to write down their testimony. And somewhere, usually along the training, we would just take a blank sheet of paper and a pen and ask them to write your testimony of when you came to Christ. Usually it would be a three-point little testimony: my life before Christ, how I met Christ, and how Christ makes my life different. And I would say to people in that evangelism training, you ought to be able to write your testimony around those three themes, and you ought to be able to do it in about 2 or 3 minutes, so that if you have an opportunity to share your testimony, you can do that. I will say this to you. It was not unusual in evangelism training for somebody at that point to come and say, you know what? I don't have a testimony. And in evangelism training, actually give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. I say all that to say this morning. In my text today, we have the story of two women. These are two women, and I want to look at their testimonies. The first one is a lady that we're given her name. The Bible says her name in verse 14 is Lydia. The scripture says she was from the town of Thyatira. That name might ring a bell to you, because if you recall, in the book of the Revelation, in chapter 2 and chapter 3, Jesus addresses 7 churches. One of those was the church at Thyatira, and that's where Lydia was from. The Bible says that she was a seller of purple. What that means is the purple was a dye that was sometimes taken from shells, or sometimes they were taken from the roots of plants, and they would take that dye and they would, of course, dye material for clothing. And the Bible says she was a seller of purple. And the reason why purple was because purple was the color of royalty. It was the color of those who were wealthy. So whenever you look at Lydia, she is a businesswoman. She's probably a very wealthy woman. She also probably has a rather large house, because in the text, she invited the mission team to come to her house, and that would include Paul and Luke and Silas and Timothy and perhaps others, but later on in the last verse of chapter 16, she invites the entire group of people, the church, to come to her house. So we find, first of all, the testimony that we're going to look at of this lady by the name of Lydia. The second lady that we find in testimony is a nameless lady who is simply called in verse 16 a certain damsel. A damsel has two particular definitions. Sometimes the word damsel means a young unmarried woman. A young unmarried woman. Sometimes the word damsel describes someone who is a slave. And it seems to be that in this particular story, this young lady is both. She's probably young and unmarried, but she's also a slave because the Bible says in verse 19 that she has masters. And so the Bible says these folks were living in the city that's called Philippi, and there came a day whenever Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy and the team came to their house, and one night the Apostle Paul shared the gospel, and that's where we hear the testimonies of these two women. I want you to look at them with me quickly today, and I want you to keep this in mind. Every Christian has a testimony. If you call yourself a Christian this morning, you have a testimony. So let's look first of all at what I call the beautiful testimony that's found there in verses 11 through 15. And let me give you a little bit of background information. First of all, we talk about the coming to Philippi. It's found there in verses 11 and 12. But if you would back up for just a moment. In verse 9, the Bible says that Paul had a vision. And he said there he saw a man of Macedonia, and he was saying, "Come over and help us." And so it's what we commonly call the Macedonian call. But if you look at verse 10, the Bible says, after that call, and after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. I point that out to you to say this to you this morning, that once you know the will of God, there ought to be an urgency in your heart to do the will of God. If you're sitting in this room today and there's some things that you know God wants you to do, there ought to be an urgency about that. Don't delay that. Don't put that off. And so the Bible says, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. So the Bible then describes how they sailed from Troas to Samothracia. And then the Bible says they went from Samothracia to Neapolis, which, by the way, this is the first time the Apostle Paul had set foot upon European soil. And so the Bible says they came with a straight course. That is, they had the wind at their back. And so they came now to the little place called Philippi. And may I just pause there to say to you, that's important. Why is that important? Because in your Bible, you have a little book called Philippians. I've been preaching through it on Wednesday night. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul later writes to the church at Philippi. So they came to Philippi. It was a Roman colony. Philippi was a place where in Rome, whenever the authorities and the soldiers got to the age of retirement, many of them moved to Philippi and they retired in this little town called Philippi. And so the Bible says now that Paul and his team have come to this little town called Philippi, and they sat down there for a few days and enjoyed the day, and that's when the story gets interesting. Look at verse 13. The congregation at Philippi. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys, you know that his habit was whenever he went to a town, the first thing he would do is he would find the Jewish synagogue and he would go to the synagogue and he would preach at the synagogue. But yet whenever he came to Philippi, he did not go to the synagogue, probably because there was no synagogue there. Because the Jewish rule was that you had to have at least 10 men to have a synagogue. And evidently they did not have 10 men. And so the scripture says the congregation was that whenever they went outside the city and they sat down by the river, there was a congregation of women who had gathered there. Now, isn't that interesting? Because the Bible says back in verse 9 that whenever Paul received the call, he saw a man of Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." But when he got there, he didn't meet the man. He met these women who were out there by the riverside and they're having a worship service. The Bible says they sat by the river. I picture them as being out there by the river, and they would pray together. And they would read the scripture together. What scripture would they have? They would have the Old Testament scripture, and they were reading the Word of God. And so the Bible says on the Sabbath day, which by the way would be Saturday, on the Sabbath day they went out to where this prayer meeting was going on, and there was these ladies sitting by the river, and they were reading the Bible, and they were praying, and here comes Paul and his companions, these four men, sat down with them in their worship on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine what it would be like to have a worship service and the Apostle Paul show up? I promise you, Brother Keith would sit down and let Paul stand up, you know. Can you imagine studying there with him, praying there with him? And the Bible says he began to speak to them. How excited they must have been to have a man, a rabbi like the Apostle Paul among their midst. And the Bible doesn't tell us what Paul spoke to them about, but we can guess, can't we? And probably be pretty accurate. I would say to you, this is what Paul did for those ladies. He opened up that Old Testament scripture and he began to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I think what he began to do probably was take those Old Testament scriptures and the life of Jesus, and he'd say, you know this Old Testament story? That's talking about Jesus. You know this Old Testament story? That's talking about Jesus. And just pointing them to the Word of God. I'm glad we've had the emphasis on the Word of God this morning. He was preaching to them the Word of God, and then he would begin to tell them about Jesus Christ. And he would begin to apply the Word of God. So there was this moment here of the congregation gathered together in Philippi. I want you to see that by the river, studying the Word of God, praying together, and Paul opening up the Scripture. Now here's where you need to pay attention. Well, you should have been paying attention before. Look at verses 14 and 15. The conversion in Philippi. Look at verses 14 and 15. I want you to listen to Lydia's conversion experience. It's beautiful, verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, all these words are important, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Let's just stop there for just a moment. Because when we see Lydia, the seller of purple, the Bible says she was seeking God. May I tell you why she was seeking God? Because God was seeking her. And so she began to listen to her heart. She was worshiping the God of Israel. She did not know the God of Israel. She had not converted to Judaism. She had not converted to Christianity. But her heart was open because God was seeking her heart. And the Bible says she was listening to God's word. She listened to what Paul had to say. Luke says she heard us. What did she hear? She heard the story of Jesus. How Jesus came and Jesus lived and Jesus died for her sin and rose again from the dead. And whenever she heard that, it resonated in her heart. And the Bible says, I love the way the text says it here, and it said, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. That is, here, her heart, her, I mean, who she was open to what God had to say. The Bible says over in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in. So somewhere along the line, here's Lydia listening to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit opening up her heart. And here's Lydia saying, I want to give my heart, my life, my all to Jesus Christ. I thought of the old song we used to sing. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you there by that riverside, Lydia got saved. She gave her heart to Jesus Christ. How do you know? Look at verse 15. Look at Lydia's conversion expression. First of all, the Bible says she got baptized. And when she was baptized, Can we just stop there a moment? May I say to you today, if in fact you've ever opened up the door of your heart and you've asked Jesus Christ to come in, the first thing you ought to do is follow the Lord Jesus in believer's baptism like you saw happen here today. I think one of the evidences that you really are a child of God is baptism. I believe your profession of faith is not so much when you walk down an aisle and take a pastor by the hand. Your profession of faith is whenever you stand in the baptismal waters and you say, I've died to an old way of life, I've risen to a new life because of Jesus Christ. That's your profession of faith. That's whenever you say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now remember this, Lydia was a businesswoman. Lydia was a wealthy woman, and here she is by the riverside, and whenever she got saved, the first thing she did, she went in the waters and she got baptized. Are you listening to me, ladies? She probably got her hair done on Friday. Isn't that right? That's when you get your permanent, right? She got her hair done on Friday. You know, she could have been one of those ladies and said, you know, I'm a business lady. My hair just got done. You put me in that water, my hair is going to be all messed up. I'm going to tell you what, whenever you give your heart to Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. Amen. And so I think that's the evidence. She said, I want to be an example of what's happening in my heart. And so the Bible says she was baptized. I say it like this. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward experience. You can't show someone what happened to you on the inside whenever you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. I think that's why God gave us baptism, to let people see on the outside what he's done on the inside. And so I know she got saved because the Bible says she got baptized. And I'll tell you another thing I notice about her, and that is also that she led her household. The Bible says not only was she baptized, but it says, and her household. Now, please don't misunderstand that. That's not saying that because Lydia got saved, that therefore all the rest of her family were saved. Now, the reason they got saved was not because of Lydia's faith, but because of their own faith. Are you hearing me today? Nobody gets saved because grandma got saved or grandpa got saved or mom or daddy got saved. If you ever give your heart to Christ, it's going to be because you opened up the door of your heart. And so her household got saved. They got baptized. But here's my point to you today. She led the way. She was probably a person of influence. And she was probably a good moral lady. And there were probably those in her household who said, you know what? If Lydia needs Christ, I need Christ. And so they followed her example. Their encouragement led the way. Are you listening to me today? I mean, in your family, if you would do what God wants you to do, there's no telling how many members of your family might follow your example. Listen to me, Dad, because I believe, Dad, you're the head of the house. You give your heart to Christ, the rest of your family will probably give their heart to Christ. You start living for Jesus, the rest of your family will start living for Jesus. And so the Bible says, here she gives evidence of her whole household gets saved. I must hurry quickly. The Bible also says, I think another example she got saved, she showed hospitality. She had the mission team. The Bible says she constrained them. The word means she forced them. It means she compelled them. That is, she had the mission team, and she said, I want you to come to my house. Don't you know she probably has some fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy? And she invited them all over, and as an evidence of her salvation, she was being hospitable to all the missionary team. That's one of the ways you know you're saved, is whenever you invite the preacher over to eat. That's what I got out of that. I don't know what you got out of it. That's what I got out of it. Oh, here's my point to you today. You can't be saved and not show it. Are you hearing me? If Jesus Christ is on the inside, he will be reflected on the outside. Now, your story may not be exactly like this, but every child of God, your testimony was probably something like this. I was listening or I was reading the Word of God. I heard about God's Son named Jesus who died and rose again. The Holy Spirit of God knocked at the door of my heart. I asked him to come into my life, and my life has never been the same. testimony time. Lydia had a beautiful testimony. Now let me look at the second one. It won't take me as long, but let me look at it real quickly. I call this the baffling testimony. That's when we look at this little girl that we're introduced to in verse 16, the damsel in Philippi. Do you know these two ladies are nothing alike? One is very cultured, the other is probably not cultured at all. One of them is a seeker of God, the other is not seeking at all. And the Bible says, once again, the mission team in verse 8, they're going to prayer meeting again. Evidently, prayer meeting is pretty important. And so they were going to prayer meeting again, and the mission team met this second lady, and the Bible says she was possessed with a spirit of divination. The Greek text says she had a python spirit. A python spirit. It goes back into Greek mythology where they believe that python was a snake. That guarded the oracles of Delphi, and it's a long story, but what they believed was here was Satan using satanic powers through this lady. She was demon possessed. The Bible says she was a soothsayer. What's that mean? She was a fortune teller. And what was happening was demonic powers. Satan was using his demonic powers for her to tell the future. And she had masters, and she was a slave, and they were using her because the devil was speaking through her. By the way, I found it interesting in my study that the word python has become synonymous with the word ventriloquist. You know what a ventriloquist is, right? Somebody, they have a little dummy on their leg or whatever, or sitting on a stool, and they speak through them. That's a ventriloquist. And so what the Bible is saying here is that this young damsel, she was being used, and Satan was speaking through her. Look at verse 17. So, I call this now the danger in Philippi. Verse 17 says the little girl was following the mission team, and listen to what she was saying. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. What that means is, it appeared to people that she was saying it, but yet Satan was the one who was speaking through her. And you might say, well, what's the problem with that? Because what she was saying was true. Well, it is true. They were the servants of the Most High God. And it was true that they were showing the way of salvation. Well, what's the danger then? She was a fake. She was a fraud. She was wanting to be looked upon as being like a believer, or at least Satan wanted people to look upon her as being like a believer, but she was not a believer at all. And the concern was is that unbelievers might look at her and they would start following her. As a matter of fact, that's the way false religion works today. False religion today wants to give the appearance of being godly, and yet they're not godly at all. And so whenever you read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus never accepted the testimony of demons, even whenever they spoke the truth. And here's Paul not accepting the testimony of demons either. And so whenever you get to verse 18, you find the deliverance in Philippi. Finally, Paul had enough. The Bible says Paul was grieved. I don't think he was grieved because this lady kept following them everywhere. I think he was grieved because of what Satan was doing to that young girl. And I think he was also grieved because of what was happening to the gospel. And so the Bible says he spoke to that demonic spirit and said, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. Remember this. Demonic powers are no match for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so whenever he said that, the Bible says, and he came out the same hour. The demon left, the chains fell off, the python slithered away. And so now that little girl is now no longer demon possessed. Stay with me. But here's why I call this the baffling testimony. And it's a baffling testimony for this very reason. You have to ask yourself the question. Did that young girl, did she get saved like Lydia got saved? Oh, we know that she was delivered from demon possession, right? I mean, the Bible says that she was delivered from the demon possession, but the Bible does not give us a clear testimony of her salvation. One commentator I read said this: she was restored to her right mind, and we presume received Christ as her Savior. And that's my point. We presume she did. As a matter of fact, my preaching through Philippians on Wednesday night, I have said many times from this pulpit on Wednesday night that we assume that this young damsel, that she got saved as well. But here's the problem. There is no clear testimony of her faith in Jesus Christ. She just disappears from the scene. There's no evidence that she followed the Lord in baptism. There's no evidence that she did any other things. She just passes away from the scene. We think she got saved. We hope she got saved, right? We know she was set free from her demons, but the Bible doesn't say clearly that she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. And here's my point, and I'm done. My point is this. I know a lot of people who I think they're saved. I hope they're saved. But I don't know if they're saved, because there's really no clear testimony in their life of their relationship to Jesus Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Do you look at these two ladies? Do you see the difference? Here's one by the name of Lydia. I think it's very clear from the Word of God when it says her heart was open and she received the Lord and she was baptized. And here's another one that we're just not quite sure of. I want to make a statement to you this morning that I say a lot, primarily at funerals whenever somebody has died. But I want to say it to you on a Sunday morning today. And I want you to hear what I'm saying, particularly you moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas in the room today. I want you to hear what I'm going to say to you today. The worst thing you will ever do to your family is to die without giving them a clear testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ. When you have drawn your last breath, you do not want your family thinking, man, I hope he was saved. I think she was saved. You want to leave them such a testimony that they have confidence in their heart to say, I know where mom, dad are. I know where grandma and grandpa are. I know where they are because I've heard their testimony of how they place their faith in Jesus Christ. You see the difference what I'm saying? The worst thing you will do to your family is die without giving them a clear testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ. It's testimony time. What if on this Sunday morning we decided, let's just have some pop-up testimonies this morning? As a matter of fact, what if we just said, we're going to start somewhere and we're just going to go down every row, and we're going to let every person pop up and give your testimony of when and where you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. I wonder, would you be sitting there worried about when it gets your turn? Do I have a testimony? Do I have anything to say? Let me close with this story. Many years ago, when I was a young pastor, I was asked to preach a revival at a little church that was called the Alfalfa Baptist Church. The Alfalfa Baptist Church. The Alfalfa Baptist Church, well, that's all it was. It was a church. There's no town of Alfalfa. It's one of those, you've seen them, right? Driving out in the country somewhere, you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden there's just a church building there. And that's Alfalfa Baptist Church, and right next to it, a cemetery, right? That's the way we do it. So there was the Alfalfa Baptist Church, and then there was a cemetery. There used to be a gas station about a half mile down the road, but the last time I drove by it, even the gas station's gone. But Alfalfa Baptist Church is still there. So I was a young pastor. They asked me to come preach a revival. And one night, I don't know why I did this, but one night, whenever I got up to preach, I said, well, let's just have some testimonies. Before I preach, let's just let people have some pop-up testimonies. Tell how you gave your heart to Christ. And it was a small building, as you might imagine, but somebody over here would stand up and give their testimony. Somebody over here would stand up and give their testimony. And as I was there, I looked out, and on the left-hand side, I can still see it in my mind, about halfway back, I saw a lady stand up. Somebody else was talking, but she stood up. And she walked over here to the side. She walked down the aisle. The pastor was sitting on the front row. And she sat down, and she talked to the pastor. And in just a little bit, I saw her and the pastor get down on their knees and pray. And then in just a little bit, they got back up, and she walked back to the aisle, went back to her seat. We were still having pop-up testimonies. And in just a little bit, that lady popped up back there. And she said something like this. This isn't exactly, it's been too long ago. But she said something like this. She said, just a moment ago, I didn't have a testimony. But I just went down and talked to the pastor. And I just gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And now I want to tell you, I have a testimony. Jesus has come into my heart. He's forgiven me my sin, and he's my Savior today. Every Christian has a testimony. How, when, where, somehow, that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Here's my question. What's your testimony? What's your story? When and where did you give your life to Jesus Christ? And if today in this building, or watching online or listening by radio today, if you'd be real honest and you'd have to say, I don't have a testimony. Here's my suggestion. Why don't you make this your day? Why don't you make this your place where you said, this is where I gave my life to Jesus Christ? It'll be the best thing you ever did. You don't want to leave this life with a baffling testimony. You want to leave this life with a beautiful testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a word of prayer? In the silence of the morning, it may be that you're hearing the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit like Lydia did that day, where the Bible says, whose heart the Lord opened. Maybe today you sense that the Lord Jesus is standing outside the door of your heart, and maybe he's done that other times before, but you've never answered. But today you want to answer. Today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. If that's you today, in just a moment, whenever we stand to sing, I'm going to ask you to slip your way out from wherever you are. I'm going to ask you to come down one of these aisles. I'm going to ask you to take one of our pastors by the hand. And friend, you don't have to say a whole lot. All you have to do is say something like, I want to get saved today. I want to give my heart to Jesus today. I want to have a testimony today. Man or woman, boy or girl, young person, the best thing you'll ever do is what I'm asking you to do today, to come and give your life to Jesus Christ. And there may be some of you in this room today who say, well, Pastor, I've done that, and I know I have. But the truth of the matter is, there's not a whole lot of evidence. Some of you maybe have never even followed the Lord in baptism. You've never taken that first step. You've never made that profession of faith. And you ought to come today and say, you know what? I've been saved. I need to get baptized. Father, today I pray you'll move up and down every row, and I pray you'll tug at every heart. And I pray, God, you'll have your way in every life. Lord, I just pray that even now that there are people in this room, in their heart and their mind, they're thinking about their testimony, their life before Christ, and how they met Christ, and how Christ has changed their life. And Father, if there's somebody who says, I don't have a testimony like that, I pray this might be their day. So Lord, don't let anybody walk out of these doors without Jesus in their heart today, please. Please, sweet Holy Spirit, powerfully, please speak to every heart. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in standing, please? Our pastors are in their places today. There is something that God wants you to do. You don't have to wait on anybody else. This is between you and God and nobody else. Just come today. Maybe you want to take a friend by the hand and say, would you go with me? They certainly would. Whatever God wants you to do, come do it right now while we sing.
Are you hurting and broken within? Oh, Lord.